This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
If someone were to ask you to give a list of the things that you love, what would be on your list? You say, well, I love my family. I love my country. I love being where I the nation in which I live. I have friends that I'm so close to. I really love my friends. And I have an idea that you'd go down a long list of various things that you love. But isn't it the case that the one thing that ought to be at the very top of our list is that we love the Lord? Let's talk about that today. I love the Lord. I want to thank you for tuning in to watch Getting to Know Your Bible today, and we do want you to stay tuned as we discuss this vital topic of loving the Lord, why we should love the Lord, how we show our love for the Lord, and the future of those who do love the Lord. Now, in order that you might know more about a Bible course that we have, I'd like to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I have one short verse that I want to read to you from the 116th Psalm, and it's the very first verse of that Psalm, but if you have your Bibles open, you may want to keep them open because we're going to be looking at various passages out of this chapter. Verse 1, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Jesus explained on one occasion that the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord God. That's found in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. We're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. In the Old Testament, you find that same command in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And the ancient Israel was commanded to teach their children to love God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, their mind, their strength. But why should we love God? Well, one of the reasons we love God is because He first loved us. And we are just showing Him, how much we appreciate His love by loving Him. Our God is worthy of being loved because He did love us. He is worthy of being loved because of His tremendous power and might. He is worthy of being loved because He is our Creator. He is worthy of being loved because of all that He has done on our behalf. When we think of what God has done for mankind, that He's given us a planet upon which to live, we call it Earth. And God created it in order to be inhabited. He made it just exactly right so that we could live comfortably upon this Earth. God has given us bodies in which to live, minds with which to think, feet with which to go. And so, there's no end to all of the blessings that God has showered upon us, the things that He's done for us. And so, we need to love the Lord. There are some reasons for loving God that are found in the 116th Psalm, and what we'd like to do is just sort of pick through some of these things and apply them to our lives today. Well, one of the reasons that the psalmist suggests that we should love the Lord is because God hears us. He listens to us. Listen to verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Now verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You see, we love the Lord because when we're in distress, God hears us when we pray. When we have our backs up against the wall, God hears us when we call upon him. When we have blessings that are conferred upon us and we are so grateful and thankful and we go to God in thanksgiving, God hears us. You see, when we pray, we have a God in heaven who listens. He comes down in condescending love and he hears us. The eyes of the Lord over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers. Never think that we have a God in heaven who cannot listen to us. He never turns away when his children call upon him. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 tells us that we have the ability to come before God in a bold way. We can come with boldness and we can ask for help in time of need. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that we have someone who listens to us when we're in trouble? We listen to us when we're distressed, listens to us when we have so many cares upon us that we don't know what to do. Cast all of your care on him, for he cares for you. He listens when we pray. Someone says, I don't really think that he hears me when I pray. Well, there may be reasons that God doesn't hear us when we pray, and sin that we've harbored in our lives can cause God not to listen to us anymore. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, verse 2 suggests that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. That is, God has not lost his ability to save people. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He's not deaf. No, God can hear. God can listen. But why is it then that God would not listen to someone? Verse 2 suggests that to us, that it is our sins that separate us from God. It is our sins that would cut us off from God. It is our sins that we've harbored in our lives that would keep God from listening to us when we pray to him. Can you pray, my Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Is he your father? Are you his child? I'd urge you to think seriously about giving your life to Christ by believing on Jesus and by repenting of your sins, by confessing your faith in Christ, by being baptized into Christ. But position yourself in such a way that when you pray to God, you have the assurance that God is listening. I love the Lord because he hears me when I pray. A second reason the psalmist suggests that we ought to love the Lord is because he cares for us. Now think about that. Look down in verse number 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You see, God cares for us. God is concerned about all people. He's even concerned about people that are not concerned about him. And God wants those that are not concerned about him, who do not love him, to love him. He wants them to trust him with all of their hearts and stop leaning on their own understanding. He wants to save them from their sins. He wants to be their God. But unfortunately, all people are not concerned about him being their God. But when he is our God, we have the assurance that he cares for us, and we can cast our cares up on him because he cares. There are a lot of ways that God is described in the Bible. He's described as a God of holiness. He's described as a God of justice. He's described as a God of mercy, a God of kindness, a God of love. And much has been said about those things, but the one thing that really tugs at my heart is that I know God cares. God cares. I'm speaking to some soul right now who feels as though no one cares any longer. It may be that you're in a nursing home. It may be that you're in prison. It may be that you're in a bad relationship and you feel as though no one cares about you. Can I tell you something? And this is the truth. This is the truth. God cares. God is concerned. God loves you and God is concerned about you. What we need to do with all of the cares and anxieties of life is to cast them on the Lord. Cast them on the Lord. God will sustain us if we do. That's found in Psalms chapter 55 and verse 22. If we cast our burdens on the Lord, He will sustain us. That's exactly what 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, isn't it? Cast your burdens on the Lord and because He cares for you. He's concerned about what happens to you. And in the darkest hours of our life, the darkest times of our life, we can go to a God who loves us, and we love Him because in those times, He's listening to us and He cares for us. Another reason that the psalmist suggests that we ought to love the Lord is because when we turn our lives over to Him, He is in the position of a deliverer. He delivers us. Listen to verse number 8. For you have delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. When you turn your life over to God, when you turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, someone says, well, I thought Brother Lambert, He saves us. He does save us and He delivers us. He delivers us from the power of sin. He delivers us from the penalty of sin, from the guilt of sin. Maybe you feel guilty about something you've done. I want you to know God can deliver you. You say, well, I'm in a mess, Brother Lambert, because I've been taking drugs and I'm so caught up in the drug culture that I see no way out. I want you to know that God can deliver you. God can set you free through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who came into the world to deliver us from the power of sin. He tasted of death for every man, Hebrews 2 and 9. And He tasted of death for every man that we might be free from sin. So He delivers us. But He cannot deliver. A person doesn't want to be delivered. Oh no. You have to want to be delivered. Suppose a man been in prison for 20 years. And what would you think if someone came to the cell one day and opened it up, said, how would you like to be set free? He said, no, you know, I like it in here so well, I think I'd just like to stay the rest of my life. You say, well, that man be insane. Well, there are people that are in the prison of sin. And Jesus came into this world to open up that prison and to set you free from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, from the stain of sin, from the guilt of sin. And yet there are some people who say, you know, I'd just like to stay right where I am. I'd like to stay in the prison of sin for the rest of my life. And whatever happens after life is over, oh well, so what? A person would almost have to be insane to reason that way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John 14 and 6. And no man comes to God except through Jesus Christ. I want you to know that Jesus is your Savior. Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus came into the world to save you from your sins. As a matter of fact, that was His mission. In Luke 9, 10 and 10, He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to save all people. It doesn't make any difference if there are a murderer. He came to save murderers. Why, He did on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. The people to whom Peter preached on that day were guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. And yet there were people saved on that day because they believed on Christ and they repented of their sins. And as confessing believers in Jesus, they were baptized for the remission of their sins. He set these murderers free from the guilt of their sin and from the stain of their sin. Jesus came into the world to save good people, just good moral people, the kind of person you don't mind living next door to, you know. Well, you say, well, I have a neighbor and said, He never goes to church. He doesn't even own a Bible. He just doesn't seem to be a religiously minded person. But what a good man he is. Well, Jesus came to save that person. You see, morality may keep you out of the local jail, but it's going to take the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver your soul from eternal torment. So we need Jesus, and we need Him in our lives. And we love God because He delivers us. He delivers us from sin. And when we have obstacles come our way, He's going to hold us up, and He will keep our feet from falling. So we ought to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. But you say, how do we show that we love the Lord? Well, one of the ways that we show that we love the Lord is being aware of what He has done for us. The way that God has blessed us, the way that God has benefited us. Notice verse 12, if you will. Well, what shall I render unto the Lord? Now, the word render means to dedicate. It means to consecrate. It means to give. So think about those three definitions as we read the passage. What shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I dedicate unto the Lord? What shall I consecrate unto the Lord? What shall I give unto the Lord? For all of His benefits, all of His benefits toward me. So one of the ways that we show that we love the Lord is being aware of what God has done for us. The most benighted soul the world has to offer is the ingrate, the person who receives blessings from the hand of God, and yet they never show their appreciation for those blessings. But when we really love the Lord, we're aware of it. We're aware of what God has done on our behalf. Psalms 103 and verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. And there are so many people that have forgotten what God has done for them. That they've forgotten what God has done. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, Moses was reminding ancient Israel of all that God had done for them. And he explained to them that they should be aware lest they forget about God. And then Moses explained, because it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. It is God who gave you the body. It is God who gave you the mind with which to think. It is God who gave you the ability that you have. Don't ever forget that it's God. It's God who gives you the opportunity. God is blessing you. Someone says, I beg to differ, Billy, because it's through my own strength and my own power and my own might, my own ingenuity and my own work that I have what I have. My friend, don't be so deluded, because you would not have any of those abilities and those opportunities and the power to do that without God Almighty. In Deuteronomy 6 and 12, Moses said, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God that brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Israel had been delivered from the land of Egypt where they were in bondage. And God delivered them with a high hand, with His might, with His power, with His strength. And there was the danger that they would forget that they had been delivered. You see, one of the things that we need to do is to be aware of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Well, think about some of them. Think about the physical blessings we have. You know, James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So everything we have comes from God. He showers blessings upon us, blessings untold. Think about your family. You have a good family, you say, oh, Brother Lambert, I love my family. I have a good family. I have a good wife. I have a good husband. I love my children. I have good children. Well, you're truly blessed. You are so blessed. And you are blessed by God. You know, in Genesis 4 and 1, when Eve had a child, she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Every child you have is a gift of God. In Psalms 127, the psalmist said, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. They're gifts of God. God's blessed you with a good family. God's blessed you with a good mind. Think about the ability to remember things. Suppose you did not have that ability. Suppose God withheld from you the ability to remember. Think about how confusing your life would be. That's a blessing of God to be able to remember. There's so many blessings that God gives to us that are of a physical nature. The air that we breathe is a blessing. The freedom that we enjoy is a blessing. The ability that we have in the United States to go and to vote for those that we think we want to rule over us or to govern us is a blessing. We have that ability. The fact that man was created with the ability of choice, to choose, has a will. He has the ability to make decisions in his life. Folks, that's a blessing. That's a blessing of God. And how thankful we ought to be for the physical things that God has done for us. But especially should we be aware of the spiritual things God's done for us. Think about the gift of Jesus. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. It is a gift that is beyond description to describe what God did for us in the giving of Jesus Christ for the sins of this old world. Oh, how thankful you ought to be for Jesus. We ought to be thankful for the Bible. That's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's a guide for our soul. Think how you would live your life without the influence of the Bible. Oh, what a blessing of God. God has richly blessed us. Think about the forgiveness of sins. God has provided us with the ability or the opportunity to have our sins forgiven. And that's through the blood of Jesus. And when we apply that blood to our sins are forgiven. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Have you ever applied that blood to your sins? You can do that. And I'd urge you to do that as quickly as possible. All you must do is believe on Jesus. But there's more than just believing on Jesus. You must be willing to turn from the sin in your life. And be willing to confess that you believe in Jesus before men, according to Matthew 10:32 and verse 33, and be baptized into Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not Brother Lambert's doctrine. That's God's doctrine. That's Jesus' doctrine. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Would you do that? Would you apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your sins and have your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, yes, we show our love when we're aware of what God Almighty has done for us. And then we show our love when we keep our word. I want you to look in verse number 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people. And then look in verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. Those are two passages that read just exactly alike. I'll pay my vow. Someone says, what does that mean? I'll keep my word. If I promise that I'll do something, I'm going to do it. You see, God keeps His word. God is a promise-making God and a promise-keeping God. He keeps His word. And so I'll pay my vows. I'll keep my word. If I promise God, Lord, I'm going to give my life to You and serve You, then that's exactly what I ought to do. I ought to keep my word. I've seen people be sick in the hospital, and I've had them to tell me, the Brother Lambert, I told God, and I prayed to God, if He'd help me get well and get me out of this hospital and save my life, that I'll never miss a church service the rest of my life. And so God blessed them, got them out of the hospital. And sure, they came the next time there was a church service. But then the next one I started looking, and on and on, and didn't see them anymore. They did not keep their word. Their word didn't mean anything when they made a promise to God. I've gone into people's homes that have stopped attending worship. And I say, now I want you to make a promise, not to me, but to God, that you're going to be in worship this coming Lord's Day. Oh, yes, Brother Lambert, I'm going to be there. But they weren't there. You see, they made a vow, they made a promise, they didn't keep it. When you make a vow to God, you had better keep that vow. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we learn in the first five verses, it's better not to make a promise than it is to make a promise and break a promise. Because God is going to hold you responsible and accountable for that. But then another way that we show that we love the Lord is by worshiping Him. Look in verse number 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24, we're showing that we love Him. Why do I attend a worship service? Is it because I'm just supposed to? Is it because the preacher's been after me to be there? Is it because my mama and my daddy make me go? We ought to go because we love the Lord. Love for God will put a person on a pew every time the doors open. We ought to love God enough that we want to come and praise and adore His name. And then what's going to happen? What's the future of people that love the Lord? Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And when we love God all of our lives, one day we're going to go home and be with God forever and ever. I want to thank you for watching, getting to know your Bible today. And in the closing moments, may I give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.org. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.